check it out now.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning, June. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Good morning to you. Skill Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin, everybody. My little buddy, Kelly Bidley.
Hey, yo. How we doing?
Doing well. How was your weekend?
Good, man. Nice, relaxing weekend. Lots of football.
Yeah.
That's for sure. How was yours?
Lots of football. Lots of football. Lots of tennis betting overnight as well, but lots of football.
Nice. Where's tennis at right now?
I'm 3-1 here tonight with the north of a $2 dog hitting. So really, it's like a three-unit fest so far, but one pending here.
Osaka?
No, I didn't touch the Osaka match. You don't want to hear about this, do you? Like the Sanmezes of the world, and you don't want to hear those names.
Sure.
Yeah, that sounds like exciting radio right now in the middle of football season. Football season, my God. Week 7, guessing lines in the National Football League. We will do that, the weekly exercise that we do here to try to extract value from the upcoming week's NFL games. I am in a cocoon. I don't know the lines. We'll go through yesterday's games, and in that process, I will guess the line, and Kelly will tell me what the actual line is, and when there is difference, we look to bet. That's how it works. Last week, mixed results. The Giants was a reaction. That one worked out well. The Colts was a reaction, too. That one did not. CLV for both. Colts did win, of course, but did not cover. Before we get into Week 7 games, Kelly, Circus Survivor update through 6 weeks. I assume you got through. Only 149 entries were bounced.
Yeah.
Heading into tonight's doubleheader on Monday Night Football. By the way, great sports day. Doubleheader on Monday Night Football and a baseball playoff CS, AL, and NL doubleheader as well. So looking forward to that. One of our last day game baseball days.
Oh, good call. Yeah.
Here's the deal. So only 149 left. Obviously, two more games tonight. But here's the deal in the 6 year history of Circus Survivor, where we stand this year with the two games left. You will see once again that of the 6 year history, this is fourth in terms of carnage and really teetering on fifth. Only 2021, the second year, was vastly lower in terms of elimination percentage than this year was. And as you see last year, this was the first week. Remember the first 5 weeks last year? 98.45% were ousted. This week last year, only five entries were knocked out, which was the beginning of the ultimate stagnation of those final 221 entries. So 98.49%, still the biggest year of carnage in the quickest time. But remember, from week five on, it was super stagnation. This year, 75.97% are out, Kelly. 44.97 left. And in terms of the Survivor plays, all the top five got through. Packers, Steelers, Raiders, Rams, Colts.
I was off on that Packers percentage, man. I was not expecting it to be that high.
I nailed it. I said 50.
Yeah, you said 50.
54.4% was the ultimate number. The real interesting thing, though, once again, was Grandissimo, because I brought this up several times last week. Grandissimo, there was only 16 entries left heading into the weekend. And I said, that's a little different, because if you can figure out, and you can't with any certainty, but if you guess that a whopping percentage of those 16, let's take it to the extreme. If you knew 15 of them, if you knew the other 15 people were going to take Green Bay, it was incumbent upon you to take somebody else, right? As it turned out, 13 took them. One took the Eagles. One took the Colts. One took the Rams. Eagles, loser. We're now down to 15. It was dicey there for the Packers for a little bit, though.
It was. It was. So I was through on Pittsburgh. Was happy about that. But there was a couple of those games later. Like I thought you had a chance. Bengals. Yeah. I mean, I know we're going to go through it, but Bengals forced them to a third. What was it? A third and long in their own territory with just a few minutes left. Looks like they got an opportunity to possibly get the game back. Ball back. No.
Joe Flacco couldn't pull it off. But I just wanted to say to the Grandissimo players that played the Eagles, the Colts, and the Rams, and I know the Eagles guys bounced.
Yeah.
Kudos to playing it that way.
Yep.
You play to win the game, not to survive. Poorly named game.
Yeah, and I don't know what those, the guys holding Colts and Rams, I don't know if they have used Packers, if they have them available, but, I think a possible nice pivot point this week to use the Packers this week if you haven't used them or further down the line, right? That was part of the reason why I wanted to hold on to them.
Grandissimo, $100,000 entry. So 15 left in the original 69 there. And again, as far as Circus Survivor Classic, 4,497 of the original 18,718. So once again, just over 75% eliminated.
I was surprised Packers were selected that much, and I was surprised that the Rams were fourth.
Yeah, I would have thought based on, we talked about this when we did the Survivor thing. Yeah. We do the Survivor sort of, who are we considering, who are we not considering? By the way, I'm not in it anymore. But hypothetically for me, who would I consider, who would I not? On Tuesdays, I would have, remember the Rams was our first hedge one in the middle where it was like, well, it depends on the Ravens injury report.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe because of that, it wasn't as high that, you know, Hamilton played, for instance, right? That
guy. Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe it wasn't as stark of an injury report as, by the way, that wasn't a real easy peasy game.
No, it wasn't.
You know, none of them, they all got through, but none of them were, I mean, those two anyway, we're not very
good. And at halftime, you weren't feeling great about where you were at with the Rams, that's for sure.
No, we'll go through it all. Let's begin with Thursday Night Football. Let's do it. Guessing lines, week 7 in the National Football League. We don't have the intro? Okay, great.
No. All right, Thursday night, yeah. Steelers at Bengals.
The 4-1 Pittsburgh Steelers, Kelly. And the 2-4 Cincinnati Bengals, the aforementioned. Pittsburgh, by the way, not much to say about this game. They beat the Cleveland Browns. And 9-3 game at halftime. Chris Boswell with 3 field goals. Andre Schmidt with 1. Is it Schmidt, right? That's how you pronounce it. 9-3 Pittsburgh at the half. Pittsburgh, first time they get the ball, second half, 3 and out. But Cleveland runs into the punter. Waitman extends the drive, and then Pittsburgh matriculates Rodgers to Connor Haywood from 12 out. Connor Haywood, the brother, 16-3 Pittsburgh. The brother of Cam Haywood. 7:46 left in the third quarter, 16-3 at that point. And then it will be 16-6. Next time Pittsburgh would have the ball, Rodgers to DK from 25 out, 23-6. 23-6, early seconds of the fourth quarter. This could really be summed up. Any chance Cleveland had was subsequent to that 23-6 lead because Cleveland did matriculate it. Gabriel to Isaiah Bond converting a 4th and 3, then a Judkins converting a 4th and 2. But they had to settle for a Schmidt 33-yard field goal after they had it 1st and goal at the 3. And that was pretty much all she wrote. 23-9 is how it ended. Pittsburgh held Cleveland to 248 yards. Pittsburgh with the easy-ish kind of win over an inferior opponent. Jury's still out on the Steelers, but 4-1 is 4-1.
Yep.
They banked the wins, this team.
52 pass attempts for Dillon Gabriel.
Yeah. Yeah. Cincinnati, as we just alluded to, it's Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Cincinnati, as we just alluded to, lose to the Packers as more than 2 touchdown dogs, but they made a game of it. Packers, first time they got the ball, they matriculated 3rd and 5 at the Cincinnati 19. Love tried to extend the play. He was flushed right. He did extend the play, but he was picked off a deflection by Geno Stone. And you're like, okay, well, maybe this is a sign of things to come. But a Lucas Havrasek 43-yard field goal made it 3-0 Packers early second quarter. And two sequences later when they got the ball from their own 20, Love to Golden for 35, Love to Jacobs for 29. Add in a defensive hold, Jacobs in from 1, 10-0 Green Bay. At the end of the half, in case you missed this, Evan McPherson was lined up to kick what would be an NFL record 67-yard field goal, and they whistled it dead as the ball was being snapped. So he went ahead with the motion, and his practice-ish kick, if you will, made it from 67. It hit the crossbar and bounded over, much like Justin Tucker's NFL record 66-yarder did. Of course, when they re-ran it, he missed it.
Yeah.
So no NFL record. So anyway, 10-0 at the half. Green Bay led it. But then Cincinnati, first drive, third quarter from their own 22. They get it to 1st and goal at the doorstep. Then a false start and a sack put him back. 3rd and goal at the 10. No matter. Flacco to Tanner Hudson for 8. Then 4th and goal at the 2 to Hudson. Touchdown. It's 10-7 Packers with 4:46 left in the third. Packers would respond, 9 plays, 66 yards. Jacobs, 14-yard touchdown run, right down the middle, 17-7, early seconds of the fourth. Then at 17-10, Green Bay would respond again. 6 plays, 62 yards, Love to Kraft for 19, 24-10. Cincinnati right back, 4th and 5 at the Green Bay 19. Flacco to Jamar, amazing catch with one hand available, no flag thrown, 24-16. And then Cincinnati went for two and they converted that to Chase Brown. So it was 24-18 Packers with 4:11 left, but they got the Haversick field goal to make it 27-18. And then a McPherson 56-yard try would go wide right. And that was it. Green Bay survivors survive. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. I said Pittsburgh minus four.
You're a little light. Steelers 5.5-point favorites out there right now.
You think so?
Feels heavy.
Feels a little heavy.
It feels heavy. I am definitely not there on this Pittsburgh team, but Gil, by running to the window with the Bengals on Thursday night, short week. No, not really.
Either. I have the same exact reaction. Some of these, there will be a little bit of a difference, but you're not racing to
right. Bet. Yeah. I mean, this is where the key numbers come into play too, right? You're still in that same dead zone, 4-5.5. Yep. Not that big of a difference here.
Yeah. Not that big one. Let me just ask you this. What was your biggest takeaway before we continue with these games after the break? What was your biggest macro takeaway from week six thus far in the NFL?
Man, that's a good question. I think the tightening up of divisions across the board, conferences still right top end of the conferences. What do you make of the top of the AFC right now, the top of the NFC? I think all those are pretty interesting.
Very clear answer for me, because I asked this question on the Megapod with Joe Pita last week with Todd and Will. Which is, all right now, snap answer, who's the AFC representative in the Super Bowl? And three of the four of us said the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think yesterday just solidified it again for me, which is like, yeah, all this is play. All this is practice. It's all practice.
Yeah, no, I would probably answer the same with
that. We're not talking about the real game.
Right, because the Bills wouldn't practice.
Bills are great. The Bills are a great practice team. Kansas City's going to be there in the end. I just think I know that. Coming back, Guessing Lines, week 7.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is one of the best times of the year to be a better. Football's rolling. The MLB playoffs heating up. Hockey's back. NBA tips off next week. VSiN Pro gives you everything you need to win across every sport. Daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus our new NBA betting guide with previews of every team, best bets, player props, and live betting strategies. Start betting smarter today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Huh, didn't know I was on camera for that. Sorry about that. Skill Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidley, everybody. What's your weight down to, man?
No. I didn't check this morning.
You don't want to talk about it right now?
No, I don't really. Okay. Don't really. We've gotten really into the football mode of working during the week. I'm great, Kill.
Yeah.
And then,
oh boy,
hitting the couch and eating heavy on the weekend. It's not good.
Wishnev used to do that. Super disciplined for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he ate.
It's kind of driving me nuts because last weekend it happened and I was like, nope, never again. Never again, Gil. And then I went right back to it.
We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game. Tenalach from Down Under. Your breakdowns of games on Guessing Lines are so helpful to an Aussie who can't keep up with all the action or workday Monday. On top of all the insights into future value, love your unique take on game stats and plays. Looking forward to Guessing Lines. Thank you, Tenalach. Always appreciate it. Appreciate the comment. Bob C-137, when you wake up already in the black on tennis with two very live matches in progress, your pro subscription paid for itself, and it's a nice bounce back from the keister soreness after that Detroit teaser debacle. Oh, yeah, Detroit in a teaser, too. Jeez.
Yeah, me too.
Gil on tennis, is there anyone better? That's very nice of you to say. By the way, to answer your question from earlier, Kelly, winners on Kessler, Sanmez, and Staro Dubceva last night is a +217 dog. Lost on Emiliana Arango for the 3-1, and right now sweating through Wang Ziyu as a +190 dog. Right now, she is down a set but up a break in set number two against Deanna Schneider. So looking for the 4-1, at worst a 3-2 with a $2 dog in there.
Where's Ningbo?
It is in China.
China, okay.
It is south of Shanghai.
Gotcha. There's also an event in Osaka. That's what I got thrown off before.
Yeah. Asian swing. Men are indoors, ladies are outdoors, I believe is the blue blank.
Yeah, I see men in Stockholm and Brussels.
Not this week. Are they this week? I don't think they are this week. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah. We're going
indoors. That's right. Indoor
Talon tournaments. Greekspor.
Hard indoors. Always a little.
He's live right now.
Always a little tricky.
Are we back and playing in arenas that look like they were built?
Kelly's favorite thing is when they play indoor tennis and there's like five people in the stands.
It's like everyone looks like the Hoosiers arena.
It's the WTA finals. There's 10 people there. All right, next.
All right, next up, let's head back to London. Rams and Jaguars.
How bad was the London game?
So bad, Gil.
Oh, my God.
And I think I watched more of it than any other game.
Why are we talking like that? Rams and Jags, you said?
Yep.
Rams beat the Ravens, but, you know, like we were saying earlier, it wasn't exactly a stomping. It was 3-0 Baltimore. And then Rams, Joshua Carty lined up for a 26-yard field goal, chip shot, right? Doinked it off the right upright. You're like, oh, no. Is this going to happen? Baltimore, 3rd-and-7 at their own 23. Rush, though, picked by Quentin Lake. And you're like, it's not going to happen. Rams, next play, Stafford, hit by John Jenkins. He fumbles. Jenkins recovers. Maybe it will happen. Talk about an upset. But then Baltimore, 4th-and-3 at the Rams, 34. Rush, incomplete, intended for Zay Flowers. Had no chance, and the Boo Birds reigned. All right, 3-3 later in this game. Second quarter. Baltimore, after a fumble on a punt return, was nullified by a penalty. LeJonte Webster returned the punt 35 yards, set up at the Rams 32, second and goal at the one, Andrew stuffed. Third and goal, Andrew stuffed. Remember, it's a 3-3 game. Fourth and goal, Henry hit for a 2-yard loss, halftime. That's when you knew it wasn't going
to
happen.
You should probably just give it to Derrick Henry there more often, Gil.
Yeah, not just the fourth down play.
Not just the fourth down when it's incredibly obvious who it's going to after Mark Andrews gets stuffed.
This is our tight end. He's lined up here. We will give it to him.
Also, I'll be the guy who the Eagles tush push guy that circles back to. They're the only one who could do it.
It ain't that easy.
Everybody wants to yell about how easy it is, and we should get rid of it, and everybody else can do it.
Rams wake up, third quarter, 4th-and-2 at the Baltimore, 33. Stafford to Kyron for 30. Next play, Kyron in from 2, 10-3. Baltimore then, 1st-and-20, 3rd-and-26. Rush to Zay, hit by Nate Landman, fumbles. Quentin Lake recovers, returns to 20 yards. Rams set up at the Baltimore, 21. Two plays, Stafford to Higbee. Tyler Higbee, ladies and gentlemen, still playing ball from 8 out, 17-3 Rams. 10-20 left in the third quarter, and that was basically it. They just sort of traded bad drives from there. Rams win it by 2 touchdowns, covering in the process. Now, we'll get to Baltimore later because they dropped to 1-5. But we want to keep it to the Rams at Jacksonville here, which is a game between 2-4-2 teams. Right. This is kind of a marquee matchup of the week, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Rams at Jacksonville, 2-4-2 teams. If you missed it with Jacksonville, this was one of the bigger matchups of the weekend against Seattle. Jacksonville led this game 6-0 on the second time they got the ball. 8 plays, 61 yards. Lawrence to Brian Thomas Jr. from 21 out, but Cam Little missed the extra point. So 6-0 late first quarter. Then it would be 6-3. Seattle first play after that. Darnold to Jackson Smith and Jigba for 61. Touchdown, 10-6 Seattle. 8:34 left in the second quarter. Then at the end of the first half, Little would miss a 50-yard field goal try. Seattle would turn right around for their own 40 with 58 seconds left. Myers would make a 53-yarder, so it was 13-6 at the break. And then Seattle got the ball to begin the third quarter. 8 plays, 77 yards. Darnold to cup from 11 out, 20-6. Seahawks, Jacksonville, 2 possessions later. 3rd-and-10 from their own 46. Trevor to Thomas Jr. off a deflection. Touchdown, but nullified by Travis Hunter lining up in the neutral zone.
Yeah, he did.
4th-and-5 at the Seattle 49 subsequent to that. Trevor to Hunter long for 11, then 4th-and-2 at the Seattle 30. Trevor for 4. 2 plays later, Trevor to Tim Patrick from 26 out, 20-12. Then too many men on the field for Seattle move the ball to the 1, so they decide to go for 2, and they fail with 13 minutes left. The rest of the game, here's Seattle's drives. 3-and-out, punt, and with 2:53 left in the fourth quarter. Oh, excuse me. Pardon me. Let me do that again. Jacksonville's final drives. 3-and-out. Punt, 3-and-out, and then Seattle got the ball with 2:53 left and never gave it back, even though Jacksonville had all 3 timeouts. Ball game. That's it. Rams 4-and-2 at Jacksonville 4-and-2. I said Rams -3.
You are right on, my friend.
All right.
Rams 3 across the board right now.
All right,
some light threes if you want to lay it with the Rams.
Makes sense. I do not listen. I'm the one who keeps saying the Jags make mental gaffes every single game. I do not buy the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Not me either.
Me either.
Seahawks was a nice one to get home yesterday, and I am completely right there with you with Jacksonville. However, I would say about the Rams, man, it'd be nice to feels like you could say this for the past couple of years. It'd be nice if you felt like this team was a little bit more consistently dominant, good.
They feel like a play up and down to their competition.
Yes, I agree with that.
Next.
Sunday early window, Saints at Bears.
Just rolling through these, Kelly Bidlin. You know why? Because these games weren't all that great.
No.
No.
I don't have many bets for this upcoming week either, Gil.
Chicago plays tonight against Washington. They are 4.5-point dogs in the second of the two Monday night games today.
Can't wait for tonight.
Can't wait for it.
Two great games tonight. I'm excited.
You got your Falcons and your Bills. You got your Bears and your Skin.
Yeah.
Or your Commanders, whatever you prefer. New Orleans at Chicago is a barn burner. The 1-5 Saints against the currently 2-2 Bears, sight unseen for tonight. New Orleans loses to New England, was 3-0 New Orleans. New England goes on a 4-play, 65-yard drive made to DeMario Douglas from 53 out, 7-3 New England, less than just over 4 minutes into the game. Next time New England got the ball at 7-6, they'd go 69 yards, made to Kayshon Boutte from 25 out, 14-6, closing seconds of the first quarter. Then New Orleans would have a 60-yard drive, Taysom in from one. Hey, Taysom Hill sighting, 14-13 New England. And then later in the half, when it would be 16-14 New Orleans, they would actually take a lead. New England, 7 plays, 73 yards, made to Boutte from 29 out. Ramondre, 2-point conversion, 22-16, New England. By the way, if you were watching Red Zone, they then did a 5-minute autopsy on what the score actually was at that moment, because they got confused on the Red Zone, and so they wanted to explain to people why they got confused.
I didn't hear this one. Red Zone had some moments yesterday.
The Kennedy assassination did not get as much scrutiny as the last sequence of that Patriots-Saints first half. It was ridiculous.
I didn't catch that. Well, I forget what game it was where the...
It wasn't that important. It was just like, okay, we get it. You guys made a mistake. It's no big deal. Just move on.
I don't remember which game it was. Did you catch the game, though, they were playing? I only caught it on Red Zone, but it was the actual in-game announcers where the play-by-play guy, he lost communication with, like, the producer and his the color commentator. Uh-uh. He just kept saying, I can't hear anybody. And you're like, I clearly didn't know he had a hot mic.
Unprofessional. Anyway, 22-60 at the half. They would trade field goals, 25-19. And then New England from their own 21 with 3:43 left. New Orleans has all their timeouts. But a made to Boutte 27-yard pass and catch sealed it when Vrabel successfully challenged that Boutte was in bounds. When he caught it, helping milk the clock, ball game. New England gets it done over, again, another feisty effort from the Saints, even though they don't win. I'll say Chicago minus 4.5 hosting the Saints, sight unseen on the Bears.
Yeah, another one you're a little light on. I'm surprised. Bears 5.5?
Surprised by my guess or surprised that it's heavier?
No, I'm surprised that it's heavier. Yeah. I mean, we're not talking much, 4.5 to 5.5, but man, it still feels pretty heavy.
All right. No real value found yet. We search, and we'll do baseball a little later with Adam Burke as well. It's a numbers game right here at Beeson.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Pro subscribers now have exclusive access to our new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the same trusted brand behind soccer analytics in the UK. You'll get AI-driven projections for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs across the most popular prop categories, compared directly to current DraftKings lines to highlight value. Sort by player, gamer, stat, and track how projections shift throughout the week. With injury updates and team trends, VSiN Pro subscribers can see them now at VSiN.com/props. That's VSIN.com/props. Well, I got to spell VSiN, but not props.
P-R-O-P-S.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Fred Leonard's Week 7 Survivor, or as it's more commonly known, are we really about to use Drake May on the road week? We'll get to Survivor in terms of options tomorrow. Yeah. Is Wayne Brady going to really have to use himself some Drake May on the road?
It's bleak, Gil. I will say the one upside I brought up for a segment, the one upside of seeing so many Packers go this past week was...
They don't have them now.
Yeah. And even if I have to use them this next week, it feels a lot better than it would have a week ago.
And remember, that was always the thing with the Packers when we would consider them week after week, is they always... That was the one team that always had so many options of where to play them.
That was again though. I'm surprised at that gap between the Rams and the Packers, because you don't think it's weird more people didn't think about that like I did. Like, if it wasn't going to be for the Steelers, it was wait on injury report. Right? We talked about this all last week. Wait on injury report, and if you thought enough were out, use the Rams. Then there were better spots to use the Packers down the road.
I am, to answer your question, a bit. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But no, I think people's brains default to safety.
Yeah, I think so too.
And security. and they'd rather exist for another week stress-free, or what they perceive will be right. stress-free, than to think ahead. They'll worry about that when that happens.
I'd rather live through the stress right now, Gil, than get to the end and be like, bro, oh boy.
Totally. That's like, that's how you should do it.
We talked about yesterday, not much change yeah. happening with Survivor. Tip of the cap to everybody who used the Raiders. I did not have the stones to consider the Raiders this week. You're the big winners if you got through with the Raiders.
I considered them, right? They were part of our group. Yeah. They were part of the group of consideration. But I'm just saying it's again, I know it's just I'd say this if I were still in it, right? I said it in years when I went far. Just because you last 2-3 more weeks than the guy sitting next to you doesn't mean you're better
at
it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In fact, you might be worse at it. LFC title records. I had two revelations in sports betting over the weekend. Number one, there is an American odds option on Kalshi. Number one doesn't matter because ProfitX is the best betting platform I've ever seen. I'm such an idiot for not trying this earlier. LFC title records, I agree. Super Jerk has chimed in. How about this one? So I picture his voice being. Thus far, Mayfield is MVP and it's not even close. Well, we agree with that on this show.
Yeah.
We've been saying that for a long time. Pat Monte, as a diligent listener, I know you look at fantasy football as small potatoes. That's not true. But have you considered the game of guillotine fantasy where Survivor and Rotisserie come together to survive and thrive? Pat, I think fantasy's great. I just don't have the bandwidth for it anymore.
It's really
good. Did fantasy for many, many years. Don't miss it for a second. Didn't miss it the next second. Really didn't. When I stop playing, just because I just don't, we don't have the bandwidth doing these shows and talking betting all day long, but I think it's great. And yeah, the Guillotine League, I would love to try one if I was into it.
And it's bandwidth. Perfect. Time, an issue. Right. And I'm competitive. If I'm going to play in fantasy,
oh, totally.
I'm going to be the guy who's up at 4 a.m. or whatever it is when free agency hits. So I can scoop up all those guys before you get up at 7 a.m. and get to them. And like, once you start working and we're doing stuff back and forth with betting, like, yeah, once I can't do that, Gil, I get angry and I don't want to play anymore.
Sean Fox plays. What is the correlation between Kelly's weight loss and having to watch that terrible team in Tallahassee play? Here's for hoping 5 more years of Norvell. Go Canes.
Well, that's a good point. There is a correlation. I haven't lost much weight since they've started losing football games.
The more you lose weight, the more they lose football games.
No, the opposite.
I mean, the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the more you, that's correct. The more you lose.
Because they started losing.
Yeah.
When I haven't really dropped much the past few weeks. You're on watch, Knowles. You're on watch, Norvell.
What happens if you gain weight? Then they just stink totally. They don't score.
Good point. Yeah, I don't know.
Andrew, fix my chip game on Twitter. Steelers win, AFC North hours to lose. Penguins is a surprising 2-1. James Franklin fired. What a weekend for Western PA. Quite the contrast to our brothers and sisters in the city of brotherly love. Should Penn State call Saban? By the way, what he's referring to with the city of brotherly love. Have you been, you want to put it all in one graphic here? Well, I'll just read it to you. October 4th, Phillies blow game 1 of the NLDS. October 5th, Eagles lose to Broncos. October 6th, Phillies lose game 2 of the NLDS. October 8th, Phillies win game 3 of the NLDS. But on October 9th, they lose game 4 and are eliminated. October 9th, also the Eagles lose to the Giants. October 9th, Flyers lose their season opener. October 11th, Penn State loses to Northwestern. October 11th, Temple chokes their lead to Navy. And October 11th, Flyers lose in overtime. Well, we threw Penn State in there, I guess, somehow. But there we go. Yeah, not so good. Nash.
The Penguins, though, 2-1. I know you caught those Rangers and Islanders games over the weekend.
Oh, sure. I was locked in. Nash, last name Nash. I was dying laughing at the red zone and Scott's confusion on that Boutte catch and potential touchdown, and then having to replay it 3 different times in a 15-minute span in order for them to figure out what happened. It was just like, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was like, okay, the other games are starting the second half. We can move on.
Yeah, yep.
This is from CG Benshot 25. Oh, this is this the Survivor gentleman? He said, thank you for the kind words on the numbers game. We in it to win it.
Is that producer number 10?
Is he? I don't know if he's producer number 10. I think, isn't he the guy that he took Tennessee last week? Maybe. Is that the guy?
Maybe. I don't know.
She Benshot, tell us who you are. Anthony Ventresca, I need to hear your thoughts on how Aaron Glenn and the Jets handled the end of the first half in their game. Oh, we'll get to that. Played super aggressive on 4th-and-1 from the 37, but then just gave up and let the clock run down to halftime. P.S. Love the show. Thank you. And Steve Gronewald, what do you think about James Franklin getting fired? You see my Spartans doing the same with Jonathan Smith soon? Chris Valica, he says, play on UCLA under 1.5 wins is already dead. Love your show and all your insights. Favorite show on VSiN. Thank you, Steve. You can't blame Valica. UCLA was so bad.
I bet it too.
And then UCLA just shows up and like, watch this. Watch this, everybody.
Love you, Felica. That's one of the worst bets I've made all year. That's for sure.
But I can't even blame him. He's, I mean, You just can't. Anybody see that coming? Nope. That's what I love about people who chirp. They're like, oh, did you see that coming? Opposite to that? All right, let's continue with guessing lines. We'll get to all this stuff.
Early window, the Miami Dolphins at the Cleveland Browns.
Okay. Oh, barn burner.
Yep.
1-5 Dolphins. 1-5 Browns at Cleveland. Something's got to give. This is a big game for me in Miami. Miami fewest wins ticket. Miami yesterday against the Chargers. Second play for the Dolphins. Second eight at their own 48. Tua to Waddle, who cradles it into the air, picked by Tony Jefferson. Not Tua's fault. Chargers would go up 3-0. Chargers ball, second and 7 at their own 43. Herbert to Aronde Gadsden. Wow. Aronde Gadsden sighting. Hit by Rasul Douglas. Fumbles recovered by Jordan Brooks. Miami first play. Achan 49 to the hizzy. 7-3 Dolphins. 4:03 left first quarter. Then we get to 7-6 on a Dicker field goal. Then to 9-7 Chargers on another Dicker field goal. By the way, Cam Dicker, he is the most underrated human being in football. He does not miss ever.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
9-7 Chargers. Patterson would then give the Dolphins a lead back at 10-9, field goal fest at this point. Miami then, 2-Waddle, 45-yard hookup on 3rd and 10 at their own 38, sets up a fire drill. Patterson, 27-yard field goal, 13-9 Dolphins. Try to make that field goal as exciting as possible for everybody. 13-9 Dolphins at the half. Are the Chargers really going to lose to this team? Chargers second half, though, much different story. 13 plays, 72 yards right out of the gate. Herbert to McConkey from 5 out, 16-13 Chargers, halfway through the third. Then Miami, 3rd and 13 of their own 22, 2 a pick by Benjamin St. Juste. Washington great. Chargers set up at the Miami 37, 4 plays, Herbert to Kimani Vidal from 7 out, 23-13 Chargers, 3:55 left in the third. Dicker field goal made it 26-13. This is in the fourth quarter, but Miami was like, watch this. 69 yards, Achan in from 4. Man, is he fast. 26-20 Chargers, 7:56 left. They'd have to punt. Miami gets it back with 6:19 to go from their own 18. They matriculate 13 plays, 2-Waller from 7 out, and the Dolphins take the lead with under a minute left, 27-26. Wow. Jim Harbaugh, you going to lose to this team? Chargers have one timeout left, but you know what happens in this league these days, Kelly? Nyheim Hines, 40-yard kickoff return. Set up at their own 41, second play, Herbert to McConkey for 42 to the Miami 17. Great play by McConkey.
Yep.
Juking defenders. That set up a Dicker 33-yard field goal. Good. 5 seconds left. Chargers win. By the way, last play of the game, Tua got picked again by Derwin James. It looked for a second like Derwin James was going to house it.
I thought so, too.
To kill spreads.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
But he decided finally. He thought about it twice, you could tell. He was like, oh, okay, I'll stop. Chargers win it. Dolphins cover. And then Cleveland, we already talked about losing to Pittsburgh. Dylan Gabriel was 29 of 52 for 221. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 6 times. I will say Cleveland's a favorite, but not quite by 3. I'll say by 2.5.
Ding, ding, ding. 2.5, right on the number.
Bingo, bango.
Everywhere on the board except for South Point with 2. This opened, so this is taking Cleveland money, too. This opened 1.5, too.
Tua, after the game, talking about people like his teammates not being accountable, not showing up for meetings. Mike McDaniel had to run a little interference afterwards because Tua also said stuff about leadership, which could have pointed to Mike McDaniel. And Mike McDaniel after the game was like, well, he's just talking about people missing meetings. I don't know. This first coach fired thing is this. You said it before the show.
Could be a race there. Today.
It feels like this might be the week.
I think it's the week.
Who's first?
I think it's Callahan. No, I think it's McDaniel.
I'm going to say no one gets fired this week. Next week it'll happen. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. What other things do you do besides being a producer?
I look up Cameron Dicker kicking stats.
What do you got?
Okay, Cameron Dicker has made 105 field goals in his NFL career.
Out of how many tries?
I was just going to ask you. Out of how many attempts do you think that is? 105.
Not more than 125.
111.
Dude.
He's missed 6 times.
He's missed 6 times in his whole career. He's 105 for 111.
Yep.
Even better than I thought.
Yep.
I don't know if what you require in a kicker. Maybe you like the sexy 65-yarders. But I'll take the guy who makes 105 out of 111 every time.
Also,
he's the most underrated player in the entire National Football League.
All of his misses No. All of his misses except for one lifetimer 50 plus.
Dude, I'll take
it. He's missed one in his career. He's short, under 50.
He's yards. A robot. Love that guy. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Bet in the Woods. I have three left in Survivor. Would we be up for a Browns or Dolphins Circus Survivor play? Browns are on my short list. Would be a nice team to bank.
Ooh. We're like Browns or Dolphins?
He's saying he likes the Browns.
Oh, okay.
You got onions. That's what you got. Rhodes knows. Was last night a Super Bowl preview? I'm glad he asked this. 25-1 on DraftKings. Thanks for the show, guys. Thank you for listening. I feel like it's a Super Bowl preview last night.
Yeah, probably.
You, Mr. Bills, Mr. Josh Allen, saying that?
Probably. Okay. I will. I'm not gonna sit here and argue with you about the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Okay.
Bills, I think, still finish with the best regular season record. I think they get the one seed.
The Chiefs have been to 5 out of the last 6 Super Bowls. I feel like we don't emphasize that enough.
No, we don't. We're going to do our power rankings tomorrow, but yeah. I don't, even with that loss last night, and no, we're going to get to it. No, I don't think it looked great for Detroit. I still think they're the best team in the NFC.
I said earlier about the Rams. The Rams are the team that plays up and down to its competition, feels like. The Lions are the team that are the bullies, to use the Dr. Bob word as applied to sports betting. I feel like when they're up on a team, right, they can just pound you into oblivion. But if you get punched in the mouth, like the Commanders did in the playoffs, or like the Chiefs did last night, and you fall behind, I'm not sure Jared Goff is built for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, let's find some value.
No, I think that's fair.
Let's find some value. I haven't found any yet. Week 7.
All right, early window, Patriots at Titans.
Jeez. 4-2 Patriots, 1-5 Titans. Drake May yesterday in victory over the Saints was 18 for 26 for 261, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 9 carries for 28. Boutte, 5 for 93, 2 touchdowns. Tennessee loses to the Raiders. Again, another game there's really not much that to say about. 3-0 Las Vegas when Tennessee had the ball second and eight at their own 11. Ward hit by Devin White on a full sprint, completely unblocked. Fumbles recovered by Tyree Wilson. Vegas set up at the Tennessee 2, 3rd and goal. Geno to Michael Mayer, touchdown. 10-0, Las Vegas. 5:13 left in the second quarter. And then late in the first half, Ward hit as he throws, picked by Devin White. Great game for Devin White. Then Las Vegas, first drive of the second half. Genty, they go 70 yards. Genty in from 3, 17-0 Raiders. 7:04 left in the third quarter. It would be 17-3 into the fourth quarter. And Geno Smith, up 17-3. Hadn't thrown one pass of 10-plus air yards.
Jeez.
He finally did early fourth quarter. He didn't need to. Just didn't need to. 20-3 later now. Tennessee 4th-and-3 at the Las Vegas 4. P.I. in the end zone. Then Ward to David Martin Robinson for one out to make it 20-10 with 3:03 left. But that was just cosmetic. Failed onside kick. Tennessee would get the ball one more time down 10. They did convert a 4th-and-15, but then 3 plays later, Ward would fumble it untouched. Ball game. New England at Tennessee. I'll put New England in no man's land, -5.5.
As you should, Gil Alexander. However, we are out to 7s on this already today.
Oh, dear God.
And I think me and you have done our civic duty of betting the Titans already this year. And
yeah, no, it's not happening.
Thanks, but no thanks.
It's very attractive, Titans, but yeah, see you later.
This is going to become a thing all year. All year where it's going to be, that's too big of a number for Titans, but I'm not betting.
Will, you know, when the Megapod last year, this is the running joke, Todd and I, was that Will went to the Titans well 100 different times.
And when they finished like 2, they don't, I think they already have as many covers as they did last year.
We were finally by there, we're like, oh, not again.
Not again. Wasn't it 2 covers they had last year? It was a record.
It was epically poor. Yes.
I don't know. I'll say this. We've talked a lot about him. I know the country's talking about him way more. Drake May. He's not Drake, maybe. He's definitely Drake, probably. He's awesome, Gil Alexander. But I don't know how much faith I have in the rest of that football team still.
I think he's Drake, probably, and not Drake, maybe, to use the Cousin Sal clever nickname. But I will say that people like Scott Hansen on Red Zone.
Dude, it's the whole world.
Are Drake Hall of Fame
beat. Yes, it's the whole
like,
world.
Like, stop it already. Stop it. Look, he hasn't done anything yet. I don't know what the... Why people are so wanting to make him a superstar. It's like, let it happen first.
And yes, his you're going to see it a lot today. His through 6 week stats are incredible. They're awesome.
At one point, Scott Hansen invoked Tom Brady as a comparison, and Hansen then went to another highlight, came back and immediately realized his error and had to clarify it. I'm not saying he's good. I'm not talking about the wins. I'm just talking about at this point. You know, he went through that.
I still have questions about the rest of this team, though. Like, they're another team. If it wasn't this matchup, like, they're a team I'm going to be looking to pick on, I think, going forward is the Patriots.
I just think with the Patriots, we got a situation with May where people are slurping him for, like, the first 4 years, and we'll be like, how many playoff games have they won again?
Oh, yeah, it could be that.
He's the most slurped player for no reason, for no particular reason. He's good.
Are you saying he's the next Justin Herbert?
He might be. He might be. Next.
All right. Confirming this is early window? Yes, it is. Early window, Raiders at Chiefs.
We're flying through these games because the games kind of stunk. But here's one. Chiefs. All right, Raiders, we just talked about. Geno was 17 of 23 for 174. Chiefs beat the Lions. And I had the Lions, man. Game started in Detroit from their own 29. 15 plays, 71 yards, 9 minutes and 36 seconds off the clock. Fourth and goal at the doorstep. Montgomery in shotgun to Goff, who bobbles it. Touchdown. 7-0. It's going to be Detroit. But we find out after more than a beat, I'd say about 5 beats, that Goff didn't set before going in motion. And we are told that that is a violation. We are told that it's not reviewable from the replay headquarters either, but that officials can throw a flag if they conference up and call it. And they do then throw the flag. But how do we know, Kelly, that they weren't told in their ear from the replay booth to throw the flag?
I have no idea.
This is the problem with this.
Right. And why wouldn't they? Like, exactly. Like if that thing exists, it should be helping out in situations like
exactly.
This.
Where's I just don't understand. It's like, oh, they conferenced it. The refs came up with that themselves, that Goff had to stop and somebody noticed that, but it wasn't the replay booth that told them. By the way, I'm not as perturbed by that as this one better. According to DraftKings Sportsbook, a better placed $5,000 Jared Goff first touchdown score at 90-1. Would have paid him $450,000. Imagine the emotions of that. Yes, I'm going. He's going crazy. He's going to win $450,000. But wait, what's this? About 30 seconds later, they decide to throw a flag. So Jake Bates kicks a 28-yard field goal, and as you know, the rest of it, Jared Goff does not end up with a first touchdown.
You know what was really frustrating about all that? So in the process, what they were telling us on the broadcast, what we heard from the officials, what we heard post-game, because I read the pool reporter and get the explanation from the referee as well. Gil, I understand. I don't think they call this very tightly in the NFL. I understand you're supposed to be set before a play goes. I get it. That was really all we needed to know about this rule. I haven't gotten a clear explanation, though, about where the quarterback actually needs to be.
I guess he has to back up a step and then set and then
so
do it.
I don't think any of that matters. If he goes out in motion, he just has to set even if he's out wide. He has to get set before he runs.
Set before he goes in motion.
No, even if he goes in motion, I think he can set outside. But the problem is Goff just kept running.
Yeah. 3-0. By the way, that was a 9 minute and 30 second drive. If that was a overtime drive, the other team would have had 21 seconds left with the ball. Just want to point that out.
Don't worry, me and Gil are obsessed with this or anything.
But we found out the deal is you can bleed the clock in overtime. We got clarified on that thanks to Mike Florio asking the league. Kansas City then 8 plays, 70 yards, 4-10. 4th and 3 of the Detroit 6. Mahomes to Worthy, touchdown, 6-3. Butker misses an extra point badly, late first quarter. Detroit then, 6 plays, 71 yards. Goff to Jamison from 22 out on 3rd and 3 of the 22. Bouncing off defenders into the end zone, 10-6 Detroit, early second quarter. Late second quarter, KC, 8 plays, 55 yards. Mahomes to Kelsey for 17-1. Mahomes in from 1, 13-10. That'd be the score at halftime. Then third quarter, Kansas City, 8 plays, 81 yards and 335, 2nd and 10, the Detroit 44, Mahomes to Kelsey for 13. He didn't catch it, but apparently the replay doesn't come in and correct it. So Kansas City rushes to run the next play. 3 plays later, Mahomes to Hollywood Brown from 9 out, 20-10. Later, Detroit, Goff to LaPorta, amazing tiptoe catch back in the end zone, 20-17. Early stages of the fourth quarter, but then Kansas City, 9 plays, 69 yards, Mahomes to Brown for 3, 27-17. And Detroit would never do anything with it again. 30-17. I'll say Kansas City minus 10.5, hosting the Raiders.
Well, that's a good guess, Gil, because that's where it opened, but we're out to 12.5.
Makes sense.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeart Radio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidley.
Heyo, how we doing?
We're doing good. We're guessing lines for week seven, but I have not. Again, there's two big moves. What are the two movers so far you mentioned?
On the two big favorites, two biggest favorites on the board this week, Chiefs and Patriots, and they are, I believe, the biggest movers since from open yesterday.
Or there's another one you said earlier, too, I thought?
I don't think so. Chiefs and Patriots.
Oh, no, those two. Patriots, yeah. Correct. Two different games, yes. There is nothing so far that makes me want to bet.
Nope, nothing.
We got a whole bunch more coming up, but all right, so I don't know. Maybe there is.
I think it's the fewest bets I've made heading into a guessing lines all season. Because I bet a lot of openers.
Yeah. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jack, Ola, Choir, Gil, Jim, and I listening, hoping to extract some value for next week. But Jim and his wife, Lynn, are heading back to Wisconsin after spending the weekend bowling, golfing, and watching and betting football with all the brothers. Can't beat family fun. Have a good time, old choirs.
It's a tough life for the old choirs.
Yeah. Vegas regular. Oh, Vegas regular. How dare you? Vegas regular. The Lions are like Iga Świątek. When you punch the bully back, they tend to be not as tough to beat. Yeah, except for that one's won 6 slams and 25 tournaments and is 24 years old. The other has never been to a Super Bowl, let alone won one. Whoopsie. Comparison runs a little thin there. Dan Groeschel. Doubleheader baseball tonight, doubleheader NFL tonight, 5 NHL day games. I'm not Canadian, but I'm thankful they get to have a tremendous Thanksgiving Day sports schedule. Canadian Thanksgiving.
Good on the NHL.
Trip Tepper. Let's not forget the Titans fired Vrabel. If he gets a chance to bury the Titans on Sunday, he's going to do it. Not sure how to quantify that with the spread, but that vengeance is real. I guess that's a vote.
I don't disagree.
A vote for the Patriots for a survivor play, I guess is what that is. Montreal Max makes a good point.
Or just to lay it.
Montreal Max makes a good point at Stardust Book. He says, opposite a big NFL game Sunday and now a 5 p.m. Eastern game to this matchup for Fox, talking about the Mariners and the Blue Jays, has to be a financial nightmare with a Pacific Northwest team only their area code cares about versus a team from Canada. This ALCS series will probably have a bigger audience in Canada than the U.S. Yeah, big win for Seattle yesterday, though.
I said on the break, Major League Baseball, very happy the Dodgers are around.
George Springer took the first Bryce Miller pitch and deposited in the right field stands. 1-0 Jays. They're going crazy. First pitch, one hit, home run. The Jays got one hit the rest of the game. Oof. Mariners win it. 3-1. Take game one of the best of 7 ALCS. Game two this afternoon. Game one of the Dodgers and the Brewers at Milwaukee tonight while we have the doubleheader in the NFL.
Let's go, Dodgers. Let's go.
You got a 5-1 on?
5-1. World Series.
There you go. By the way, I got to make some bets. I got to make my Baker Mayfield to win the MVP. And you know, in college football, you know what I'm making? Indiana to win it all.
They were impressive. They were impressive over the weekend.
You cannot convince me that there is another team in the nation markedly better than that team. Cignetti builds them from the inside out, like Harbaugh.
Baker plus 425 this morning to win MVP over at DraftKings.
Yeah.
Only longer than Josh Allen, plus 185. Patrick Mahomes, plus 225.
Next. Let's find some value.
Early window, Eagles at Vikings.
Eagles going to have extra rest. They played Thursday night. They get beat and soundly beat by the Giants. At Minnesota, Minnesota off a bye. Minnesota was idle this week, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we have extra rest versus 2 weeks rest. Everybody's going to be well rested.
Well rested.
4-2 Eagles, 3-2 Vikings. I don't know. Philly minus 3, I said.
Wow. Okay, it is. It's Philly 2.5. I thought that was a little strong on Philly. I teased up Vikings.
Yeah.
2.5 up to 8.5.
I mean, the real story there is that nor my guess nor the market feels like Philly should be more than a 3-point favorite, which, again, 3 weeks ago, we might have thought differently of.
No, totally. Totally. But personally, I'm surprised this isn't closer to a pick 'em.
Offense is broken.
Yeah.
Except for that Tuchus push thing they do. They totally, that was the biggest takeaway besides the fact that they just got upset outright by the Giants, popped in the mouth. And by the way, as everybody's saying who hates Philadelphia sports. They're like, shame. They're going through all this. Shame. But the biggest thing was those four consecutive tush pushes, that was the last straw. There's no chance it gets voted in again or not voted out. Next.
I'm going to become such an Eagles defender on this.
Well, I've given both sides.
Yeah, I know. All right, next up, early window, Panthers at Jets.
3-3 Panthers, 0-6 Jets. All right. Panthers beat the Cowboys. 3-3 game. First quarter, Carolina, 1st and 10, their own 41. Bryce to Ted McMillan. Bounces off his hands, picked by Donovan Wilson, returns to the Carolina 12. 4th and 1 at the Carolina 3, Dak to Hunter. Hunter Long, touchdown, 10-3 Dallas. Hunter Long? No, Hunter Labey, I believe it is. 10-3 Dallas, early seconds of the second quarter. Then Carolina response, 6 plays, 65 yards. Bryce to Tetero, McMillan from 19 out, first touchdown of his career, 10-10. 11:29 left, second quarter. Dallas responds. Every Dallas game's like this, right? 77 yards, 4th and 4, the Carolina 30. Dak to Pickens for 8. 2 plays later, Dak to Ferguson from 19 out, 17-10 Cowboys. And then Carolina from their own 34, they end up with a Fitzgerald 55-yard field goal, and it would be Dallas 17-13 at the half. But on that last field goal drive, I want to just give you the there's no way to do this without reading it directly. This is the Now, of course, it's nowhere to be found. This is the play-by-play on one specific play on that field goal drive. You ready for this? 2nd-9 at the Dallas 36. This is kind of describes this game. Bryce Young passed to Xavier Leggett. Leggett down the middle for 4-yard loss, tackled by Reddy Steward. Xavier Leggett fumbles. Really, what Xavier Leggett did was like throw the ball for no reason. Rico Dowdle recovers fumble for 5-yard loss. Rico Dowdle fumbles. Xavier Leggett recovers fumble for no gain.
Jeez.
That's one play. Anyway, 17-13 Dallas at the half. First drive, second half. Carolina, 4 plays, 80 yards. First play, Bryce to Jimmy Horn Jr. for 34. Then 3 plays later, Bryce to Dowdle for 36. Rico Dowdle. 20-17 Carolina, 13-19 left third quarter. 2 possessions later for Dallas, 73 yards. Dak to Pickens from 34 out, 24-20 Dallas. Every Dallas game is like this. Carolina, 10 plays, 65 yards. Dowdle responsible for 47 of them on the drive. Bryce to McMillan from 2 out, 27-24 Panthers, 12-20 left. Aubrey would tie it with a field goal, 27 apiece with 9:20 left. 2 possessions later, Carolina from their own 14 with 6:07 left. 4th and 4, the Dallas 40, Bryce to Renfro for 7. Hunter Renfro sighting.
Hey, there he is.
2-minute warning. Dallas has 2 timeouts. They can't stop Carolina. Panthers get it to 1st and 10 at the Dallas 12 with 1:01 left. Then Panthers take knees. Dallas runs out of timeouts. Can't stop the clock. Fitzgerald, 33-yard field goal. Good. Panthers win it. 30-27.
That was a fun game.
Dowdle, 30 carries for 183 yards on the ground. 4 catches for 56 and a touch. Offensive player of the year, anyone?
Oh, come on. I can't get there. Maybe I'll be the...
Why can't you get there? The guy has filled the box scores for 2 weeks in a fashion that has not been seen by any other player in the league.
You're right. I'll put it in perspective here. Combined 473 scrimmage yards in the last 2 games. That's more than Saquon has in 6 games.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. You know who they played, though, the last 2 weeks, right?
They played the Cowboys and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Ugh. By the way, so this is Carolina at the Jets. The Jets remain the only winless team in the NFL. If you watched the London game between the Broncos and the Jets, you have my sympathies because I was right there with you.
Yep.
Briefly, Denver, 3rd and 7, own 25, first drive of the game. Knicks to Troy Franklin, hit by Jarvis Brownlee Jr., recovered by Andre Sisco. Jets set up at the Denver 37, 3 and out, can't get a first down. They settle for a Folk field goal, 3-0. With 3-3, Jets had a big 72-yard Kenny Nwangwu kickoff return, set up at the Denver 24, can't get a first down, 3 and out. Folk 41-yard field goal, 6-3. That basically describes the Jets. Here's a fumble, Jets, do something with it, can't. Here's a great kickoff return, Jets, do something with it, can't. But the Broncos couldn't shake them. Denver 4th and 5 of the Jets 47, Knicks to Ingram for 11, 4 plays later, Knicks to Nate Atkins, wide open from 16 out, 10-6. Broncos end of first quarter. Jets had a double dip chance. I put LOL in my notes because it's like, really? Why don't you try the first dip first? They get their first down, 4th and 1 at their own 37, punt formation, fake. Broncos all over it. Brees barely gets a yard. And here's the clock management that we got the tweet about earlier. The Jets stop the clock at 1 minute. They have 1 timeout. They run. They let the clock go. Then Fields is sacked, 37 seconds left. Kurt Warner's confused why the Jets didn't let Denver call timeout, which really didn't make any sense, by the way, that he was confused. This is the confusing part. Then a 6-yard pass, fourth and one at their own 47, 32 seconds left, and they just let the clock run out. Garrett Wilson's yelling at Aaron Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing, coach? That's my cleanup version of it. The Jets, in one half, had 32 total yards, the fewest by any team this season. It'd be 10-9, Denver. Denver will get pinned at their own 3, first play, holding in the end zone by Garrett Bowles, pulling down Michael Walker. Safety, 11-10 Jets with 4:56 left in the third quarter. Later, by the way, Knicks had 0 passing yards into the fourth quarter in terms of his second half passing yards. Went the full third quarter without any passing yards. Denver will get the ball back late. Denver Knicks to Mims for 26 on 3rd-and-8, owned 40, big chunk. Led to a Lutz 27-yard field goal, 13-11 Denver with 5:06 left. And then Fields with 38 yards passing up to this point, 3 and out. Benito sacks Fields on 3rd. That was a 7th sack of Fields in the game. Next time, Jets had the ball from their own 43 with 2:23 left. Remember, they're only down 2 points. They just need a field goal. No timeouts. They'd have a 1st and 10 at the Denver 46. They'd get to that, but a sack, the 9th. A 7-yard pass play, incomplete. Then 4th and 8, Fields sacked by Jonathan Cooper. The 9th. That was the 9th sack of Fields. By the way, Rich Eisen and Kurt Warner barely mentioned that they'd gotten up to 9 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Fields, 9 of 17 for 45 yards. Sacked 9 times. The Jets had 82 total yards, minus 10 passing. Good God. Carolina, minus 2.5 at the Jets.
Jets, 1-point favorites.
Give me the Panthers. There's our first play. Give them to me.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the numbers game, live from Circuit. Don't forget about the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. We invite you to take a look. SharpPlays.com. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Brian Young. Brian Young, as my computer immediately goes on the fritz right as I say that. Brian Young. First day back from vacation. Nothing better than listening to Guessing Lines with Gil and Kelly on a numbers game on VSiN. Thank you, Brian. Hope your vacation went well. Steve the Proxy, 702 Steve Sports, says Jets offense yesterday in London is that good? Here's their drive by drive. Ready for this? Field goal after the fumble set them up and they went 3 and out. Field goal after the kickoff, the punt return set them up and they went 3 and out. Those were their 6 points. Punt, punt, end of half, which Glenn botched. Second half, field goal, punt, 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 turnover on down. So once again, 11 points, 3 field goals and a safety, minus 10 passing yards. And from ESPN Insights, the Jets minus 10 net passing yards is the worst in a game in Jets history and worst by any team in 27 years. This was brutal, and it really does.
27 years.
I mean, I hate to say it. It really does call into question, like, I know the Jets are bad. But the quality of these international games, and I don't know, maybe it's because we're so dead tired because it's so early on the West Coast or in the Pacific time zone.
No, keep
but
going.
These games,
right.
I'll keep going.
No, keep going.
These games are, the quality of them is so poor week after week. When was the last great one we had? And I don't mean like a good finish. I mean like two really good teams duking it out in a great football game. Because you could say, oh, well, the Vikings last week, it was an amazing finish. Was it a great game?
Meanwhile, we had three games in the late window yesterday. Two of them that were just trash games, right? Raiders and Titans.
Yeah.
And the Packers were 14-point favorites.
That was a bad product this week. It really was.
It's becoming frustrating. Even like, I love the multiple Monday nighters. It's becoming a lot with that too. Like, when it starts taking away from Sundays in that middle, that window that we're used to early, It gets a little irritating.
But we love football because we don't like July or February. Mm-hmm. Just want to say that right now. Mm-hmm. Ian Hartitz on Twitter. The 3 worst quarterback games in EPA per dropback this season. Week 3, Jake Browning, the Bengals versus the Vikings, minus 0.94. This is expected points added per dropback, minus 0.94. And then Justin Fields has number 2 and number 3. Week 2 versus the Bills, he's minus 0.91. And yesterday against the Broncos in London Town, minus 0.71.
You know, it's tough, Gil. Like, no defending Justin Fields or anything for me, but like, I get it when you start to see, like, we could sit here and make the joke of, like, what did the Jets expect? You know, I mean, like, what did they think they were getting with Justin Fields? But what you've seen out of Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold here the past couple of years, like, I get why you try with some of these quarterbacks that you think there's still something there with, but man,
but we've had
I think Fields is toast.
We've had people who we respect come on here and say they think the Jets are going to be really good or go leading up to games thus far this year. They'll be really good. We haven't seen it. They're 0-6.
Yeah.
And once again, that was the first game. We waited a full hour plus, but that's the first game I make a bet on. You said the Jets were favored, and I guessed Carolina -2.5.
Anywhere from Pick'em to Jets 1.5 out there.
Right? That's a Panthers play. I don't get that.
Yeah, I took the Panthers +1 earlier as well.
Tronsky.
I don't love it. I don't think this Panthers team is very good. They don't win outside of home.
Yeah, but weeks of the games we've gone through so far, that's the one that makes the least sense to me so far. Tronsky, I had the Broncos with my last Survivor entry, not Circa, and I swear Les Miles was play calling for the Broncos in the second half, running it up the middle over and over again, expecting the D to bail us out time and time again. They did not deserve the win, he says. Torch D, the one who put the satin in your panties. Well, it's 11:03 a.m., and I just caught myself using ChatGPT to see if there's a correlation between Drake London receiving yards and moon phases. Been hanging out with Maya Joint too much, if you know what I mean. You're too close to the sun. I'm on Neptune. I was all over the place. Charlie C. talking about the Jets. I can't remember seeing such an inept offense. My guys in the desert. Never bet a team that goes from a home dog to a road favorite. Panthers, he's talking about. So he doesn't like the Panthers play. Real Knicks. Jets -1.5. Book it. Panthers are bad on the road, and this is type of NFL game where the winless team plays above its head. And I'm not just saying this because watching the Jets makes my Dolphins seem a ton less dysfunctional. Yeah, your Dolphins team that beat the Jets because the refs gave it to them, for God's sakes. The most strangely officiated game I've ever seen. And Lockman, nah, you guys have to be fair. The Bucks-Seahawks was almost the game of the year at the 4 p.m. window.
See, I'm glad I got this tweet because, like, I was heavily invested in the Bucks. Wait, hold on. But Bucks Seahawks, that was 2 weeks ago. Bucks 49ers was this week?
I think so. That's what he means. Yeah.
I don't know if we're putting Bucks 49ers in game of the year category, are we?
I don't know. He's talking
Bucks
to you.
Seahawks, baby. Whatever. I'll pretend like you're talking about the game yesterday. I was loaded up on the Bucks. So, yes, I didn't care as much, Gil.
Yeah.
But you can't expect everybody to be heavily invested from a betting standpoint. And you also don't know for sure that that's going to be a close game.
I'd side with you on this. I'd side with
you. Gotta have more games in that window.
Next.
Giants at Broncos, 4:05 Eastern.
2-4 Giants on extra rest after beating the Eagles on Thursday night, and the Broncos 4-2 after squeaking by the Jets. 13-11. 9 sacks of Justin Fields. Knicks, 19-30 for 174. Held the Jets to 82 total yards once again, -10 passing. Broncos by 7.5.
Broncos anywhere 6.5 to 7.5 out there.
Next
up, we have the Colts at the Chargers, 4:05 Eastern.
4:05, the early window of the late window, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Indianapolis Colts at the Chargers. Oh, this is a good game. 5-1 Colts, 4-2 Chargers. We talked about the Chargers. Herbert, 29-38 for 264 as the Chargers squeak by the Dolphins. Vidal, 18 carries for 124. McConkey, 7 catches for 100 and a touchdown. They were +2 in turnovers. The Colts at the Chargers. The Colts beat the Cardinals, but man, there was a lot of this game where you thought, are the Cardinals really going to win this football game after doing what they did to all of us in Survivor last week? These bastards. Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett's like, hey, remember me? Yep. I'm really good backup quarterback.
Yep.
Colts started the game 9 plays, 65 yards. Jones, Ty Warren from 8 out, touchdown, 7-0. Colts, it's off to the races once again for the Colts. You're like, oh, this is going to be another one of these. But then Arizona 3-out, Indianapolis 3-out. Rigoberto Sanchez has to play football. He's got to punt the ball. Arizona, 11 plays, 56 yards. Bam, night in from 1, 7-7. Indianapolis 3-out again. Rigoberto Sanchez. He's got to punt. He's got to actually earn his keep. Arizona 3-0. Indianapolis, 1st and 10, own 32. Jones picked by Mack Wilson Sr. Arizona set up at the Indianapolis 27. Second play, 1st and 10 at the Indianapolis 16. Jacoby Brissett picked by Mekhi Blackmon after a Chad Ryland field goal. By the way, where did it get to 14-7? Did I miss that part where it got to 14-7? Somehow I did. It would get to 14-7 Arizona. 14-7 Colts, pardon me. And then Chad Ryland would kick a field goal to cut it to 14-10. At halftime, Third quarter, Arizona takes the lead. 10 plays, 61 yards. Brissett to Trey McBride from one out. 17-14 Cardinals. 8:39 left third quarter. Badgley would kick a game-tying field goal to make it 17 apiece. Then Arizona, Kelly, 66 yards. Brissett to Greg Dortch from 12 out. 24-17 Cardinals. 1:22 left third quarter. Indianapolis responds. 6 plays, 67 yards. Jones to Josh Downs from 5 out. 24-24. 13-12 left. Ryland put the Cardinals back up 27-24, 9:31 left. And then Indianapolis, what a season they're having. Nothing phases them. 66 yards. Jones to Downs for 9 on 3rd and 8 from the Arizona 12. 2 plays later, Taylor in from 1, 31-27 Colts with 4:32 left. And then Arizona would matriculate. They'd get it to 4th and 7 at the Colts 9. You see this play? Brissett intended for McBride in the end zone. Incomplete, no flags.
Yeah.
Looked like a hold.
Yeah, sure did. Sure did, Gil.
Should have been called, could have been called at the very minimum. Indianapolis at their own 9 with 53 seconds left. Arizona has all 3 timeouts, but the Colts get a first down ball game. Colts win, don't cover. I will say Chargers. I will split the difference between the pick 'em and the 3. I will say Chargers minus 1.5.
Ding, ding, ding.
Really?
Chargers. Nice job. 1.5 across the board.
Nice job. Want to do one
Let's
more?
See, some twos out there earlier on open, not a ton of movement. Kind of laughing at this Raiders-Chiefs game. Keeps getting bet back and forth here this morning.
What's the point of resistance there?
Apparently we hit 12.5, and people came in with confident Raiders money to push
this. This is one of these games where people will cite history, and they'll be like, the Raiders always play them well.
Yeah, Circle actually hung a 13 here this morning. That got beat down.
Remember the game 2 years ago? Was it around Thanksgiving or Christmas? What was it? Where the Raiders beat them and everyone was like, oh, the Chiefs are terrible.
Oh, yeah, it was like end of season, right?
We all were like, Chiefs, oh my God, the Chiefs. And they went on and won the Super Bowl. So I'm sure the point of resistance is a lot of that thinking.
Yeah.
So far, just the Panthers for me.
Me too, and what, the Vikings leg in a teaser? Not high volume number of plays for me this week, Gil, or much money invested.
You have a play in either of the games tonight, pre-flop?
No, I do not.
I don't either.
I do not. I cannot. I will be looking forward to possibly live betting these games, though.
Yes, for sure. Live betting the NFL, far more lovely than the pre-flop betting.
I think we're going to see points in Chicago, Washington. So I'll be on the lookout for overs there.
Buffalo 4-point favorites, hosting the Falcons, total at 50. Commanders now 5.5 point favorites. Is that true? At 49.5? Wow. Respect. Respect.
Yeah, 5.5.
Respect. By the way, kickoffs an hour apart this evening. Coming back, more guessing lines on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Big news from our partner ProfitX. They've launched RFQ parlays and same game parlays, now in beta, with early access for VSiN listeners. Now, you're probably wondering yourself, RFQ parlays, what's that?
What's that, Gil?
I'm glad you asked. With an RFQ, request for quote, you'll see competing quotes on your bet so you can compare prices instead of taking a single sportsbook line. Now you can parlay the markets you already play, money lines, spreads, totals, player props, with exchange-style transparent pricing and no hidden markup. Plus, you can request your own odds and tap into their revamped live experience available in 40 states. Get early access today. Download ProfitX and use code VSIN. New users can earn up to $200 in profit cash over the first month. ProfitX, real markets, transparent pricing, and RFQ parlays in beta now. Terms apply, 21 plus only. See app for details. Was using ProfitX in Cali this weekend myself.
Nice.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. There's something a little extra to getting your offer matched and then you beating that person. A little extra thing.
Yeah.
Little thing.
Well, I'm on the Profit website right now. A great parlay FAQ if you want to go through, if you got questions about some of the stuff.
Any other acronyms with these? 3Jack, no. H3131 on Twitter. Gil, 100% agree that the international games are awful. Guarantee the teams don't really want to be there. Unfortunately, it will not end because we all still tune in. Happy Monday, fellas.
The part that gets frustrating for me, it's not so much, maybe this is a bad betting thing, maybe, but like, it's not so much about the games and the quality of what I'm watching. It's what do you make of the Broncos after that game? Are you reading too much into
that's
it?
That's the thing. It's almost like a throwout.
I agree.
It's almost like a throwout. And by the way, so if you're throwing them out,
but it's not completely a throwout.
It's not completely a throwout. But if you're, if I will tell you though that while it's not completely, it largely is for me.
It is for me too. But is that not frustrating?
It is, because then what are we doing?
What are we doing?
What's the point of any of it? Bruce Dobigan, happy Canadian Thanksgiving. It's Redux 2024 for the Lions. They're an excellent team about to be destroyed by injuries on defense. Have to win all their games 41-40. Yes, except as was pointed out on the broadcast yesterday, the difference between the Lions last year and the Lions this year is that the Lions last year, they were never getting guys back. They rode those injuries into the playoffs, and Washington destroyed them. This year, they're getting their guys back by the playoffs. So that's why I think it's a Lions-Chiefs Super Bowl. John Massey. And as if it couldn't get any worse, Justin Fields throws a late out route twice that might have gotten Garrett Wilson, the only bright spot on the offense, injured. That's so true. There was a couple passes where I'm like, oh, geez, is he okay? B-Mart at B_winning. Jets-Denver might have been the worst NFL game of the last 5 years, especially given the 6:30 Pacific start time.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a candidate. I don't know what was worse. I'm sure we could find one, but that was terrible.
Fortunately, I'm sure we can find one too, but it feels like that.
Let's get somebody on that. Find me a worse game. That'll keep them busy. Next.
4:25 Eastern, Commanders at Cowboys.
Oh, it's Cowboys week. Oh, love it. Love it. This one at Dallas. Late window of the late window. 4:25 Eastern kickoff. Washington sight unseen. They play the Bears tonight as 5.5-point favorites. Dallas losing to the Kakalaki Panthers. Dak was 25 of 34 for 261, 3 touchdowns, no picks. George Pickens looking good. 9 catches for 168. He was out there hurdling players. Holding the ball with one hand. He likes doing that. They were outgained by Carolina 410 to 292 were the Cowboys, though. I'll say Washington -2.5 on the road at Dallas.
They're all over it this week, man. Washington 2.5 across the board.
These are kind of easy.
I did include the Cowboys in that teaser with the Vikings. So Vikings and Cowboys up for me. Thought this was a little steep, but obviously game tonight for the Commanders. Total in this game, Gil Alexander, 53.5.
Jeez.
Yeah.
What's the highest total we've had this year? Do you remember offhand?
I think 53.5.
Yeah. It's up there. Well, yesterday's wasn't the Lions 52.5 last night?
52.5, yeah. Yeah. Got a couple high ones.
All right, next.
All right, next up, we are on to Sunday, 4:25 Eastern, Packers at Cardinals.
Sunday. Okay. Packers are 3-1-1. Always have to pause when there's a tie involved. 3-1-1 against the now 2-4 Cardinals. Green Bay in their win against the Bengals, though it wasn't easy. Jordan Love, 19 for 26 for 259. Josh Jacobs, 18 for 93 and 2 touchdowns on the ground, 5 catches for 57. They outgained Cincinnati, did the Packers, 409 to 268 in total yards. And then Arizona losing to the Colts, but really putting out a good effort. Jacoby Brissett, 27 of 44 for 320. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. You said he's the nicest guy you've ever interviewed? Was that
one? No, I'm glad you remember that. Yeah. It is, yes. Jacoby Brissett, when I was covering high school football down in South Florida, one of the most mature, cool, I don't even know what else to say, man. He played on the basketball team, just like out there assisting, because you could imagine Jacoby Brissett running up and down on a basketball court. Wasn't much athleticism there.
Yeah.
It was great, though. Brissett was awesome to cover. And as we've always said, if you got to turn to someone for one or two games, Jacoby Brissett, never a bad option.
Here's the thing, though.
Until he becomes a bad option.
Are we getting Kyler back, though?
I don't know. I legit don't know.
Does it legit matter as far as the spread is concerned?
That's what I was kind of leaning towards. For how long do you trust Brissett? This has been a thing for him in his career, right? To come into a game to play one game, I think he's fine.
I disagree with this take, because when Andrew Luck abruptly retired, Jacoby Brissett had a lead in like 3/4 of that game for the Colts into the 4th quarter that year. Now, they didn't end up winning most of those games they had a lead in, but much of that was not his fault. So I actually think he's better than most, though I will say this, backup quarterbacks who I might have thought have been better than most haven't really performed this year. Cooper Rush stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Who's another example of some backup quarterback that stunk? Jake Browning has stunk.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, even if you didn't think he was going to be good, you didn't think he was going to be this bad.
No, I mean, some of these guys have just really been crappy. But I think Jacoby Brissett is good. Anyway, to me, it doesn't matter if it's Murray or Brissett. I will say Green Bay minus 6.5 on the road.
All over it, man. 6.5 across the board.
These are easy to make. So far, just Carolina. By the way, speaking of Cooper Rush and speaking of the Ravens. So the Ravens fall to 1-5. Now, we have famously said if you're 0-4, there's only been one team in history that has made the playoffs after being 0-4. That's a Chargers team that did that back in the day. They got to the playoffs after starting 0-4. Kelly, I ask you the question. How many 1-5 teams, which these Ravens are, how many 1-5 teams have made the playoffs? Do you know the answer to that question?
One.
Incorrect. Four.
Wow.
Four have made it. I will tell you the teams. You ready for this? You will remember some of them.
Okay.
The Washington football team, I believe they were, in 2020. That was the year they started out 1-5, and Alex Smith had to give way to Taylor Heineke. They got to 7-9. Remember, this was the pandemic year. So it's kind of an asterisk because they made the playoffs at 7-9. That was the Heineke to the pylon game against the Bucks, and the Bucks still won with Tom Brady. So that team, Washington's pandemic team of 2020, 1-5 to 7-9. Andrew Luck's final season, as a matter of fact, as we meld two things together, 2018 Colts, they went from 1-5 to 10-6. By the way, that Washington team lost in the wild card round. This Colts team that went from 1-5 to 10-6 in 2018 with Luck got all the way to the divisional round before losing. The Alex Smith-led 2015 Kansas City Chiefs, 2 years before you-know-who showed up, three years before he actually played.
You are right. I remember a lot of these teams. I don't specifically remember any of them being 1-5. Maybe that Andrew Luck team.
That Alex Smith team went from 1-5 to 11-5.
Yeah.
They won their last 10 games of the year. They lost in the divisional round to the Patriots, I believe. And the only other one was the Cincinnati Bengals of 1970. Who could forget that? From 1-5 to 8-6, lost in the divisional round. So nobody's gotten, the answer is four teams that have started 1-5 have gotten to the playoffs. None of those teams then got past the divisional round. So there is more precedent. And this, the reason I bring this up, and I brought this up last week, because we anticipated that they'd lose to the Rams. It was one of my Megapod plays on the Rams. But we said, okay, if they're 1-5, they've got the bye week now this week, Baltimore, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lamar will come back, we assume, after the bye, and their schedule is cake. Now, Todd's response to me saying that on the Megapod was, well, Gil, they're cake.
Yeah, right now they are.
Their defense is. But what I'm saying with that schedule, could they be the fifth team to make the playoffs after going 1-5? I think they might. I really do.
It definitely could be. This is part of the reason why I made that Steelers bet last week.
What's their make playoffs price is the question on the Ravens.
Well, I'm looking at them right now, the division, plus 180 to win the division is what they're back out to. And then...
And you made the point last week that they're more likely to win with a mediocre record to win the division than they are to beat the scrum of wild card candidates.
I think so. At least from a betting standpoint. So they're even money to make the playoffs.
Even money to make the playoffs, plus 180 to win the division. Interesting.
I'd rather bet the plus 180. But that's right. I bet the Steelers last week at plus money, hoping Ravens would lose and Steelers get two wins here while the Ravens are on bye, and then at least gives me the opportunity to consider what you're talking.
Ravens 3.5 games behind the Steelers as we head into the Ravens bye this week. Interesting. Interesting calculus with the Ravens. That's for sure. Coming back, more guessing lines. Looking for value. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Derek Stevens, Shangri-La, in downtown Majestic Las Vegas. Look at that. Look at that sports book behind us, Kelly. Look at that thing.
It's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. Not a lot of betting happening right now, though. Crack of dawn.
Open windows. Danny's waiting for your bets.
Yeah. Lines are free. Everybody want to make a bet? Go there. We get tweets of beating the book. Jack Hannon, Steeler Jack Fitty. Was that that's a play on no, Jack Ham was 59 and Lambert was 58. Who was 50? My daughter is in Vegas for a work conference. Is Esther's Kitchen still a good local spot? Yes, it is.
Man, I haven't eaten there in a while, but yes, very much so.
Not as cozy and nice of an ambiance as the old Esther's, which was smaller, but still great food at a bigger location. Mm-hmm. Michael Salvino, no one, and I mean no one, references 80s and 90s rap hip hop as subtle and crafty as Mr. Alexander. Hashtag satin in your panties. Thank you, Michael. J.R. Budaris. That's a very nice name. Jets Broncos in London yesterday wasn't even the worst Jets Broncos game of the last 5 years, he points out. And that's so great. Corey Ager. As bad as the Denver Jets game was, I had the Jets as my best bet in average Joe. It was actually an enjoyable morning, a lot of value and ugly. Listen, I had in-game unders too. That's the thing that makes betting so great, right? If you're on the right side of bets, then it all becomes palatable. Mm-hmm. But even winning money, that game was so bad.
Yep.
StatLogic Sports. Wasn't Dicker the kicker unemployed and tailgating at a country music concert or something when the Chargers called him to replace their injured kicker? He's 105 for 111 for his career with four of the misses from beyond 50. Credit to Kelly and Gill for the stats. Yep. 105 for 111. Lifetime.
I do believe that's a story with him, right? He was undrafted. Something happened, and he was on the Chargers pretty quick. But
I don't know about the country music concert
thing. Yeah, me either. Yeah. Never looked back.
Wonder what artist it was. Bainbridge DeWeese, in your search for a worse game than Jets Broncos, I give you Jets Broncos. He said the next Jets Broncos game needs to be aired at 3:30 a.m. on the Weather Channel. These are the last three Jets Broncos games. You ready for this?
Yeah, good. I was just going to look this up.
13-11 yesterday.
Okay.
September 29th of last year, 10-9 Broncos. And then October of 2022, 16-9 Jets.
Yikes. Yeah, don't let these two franchises play each
other. Throw out the records when the Jets play the Broncos. Corey Ager chimes back and he says, also, no one mentioned that Flacco and Cincinnati ate up over 10 minutes in the third quarter on that touchdown drive. That's how you cover 14 and a half. Not only that, Corey, apologies for not, I might not mention that specifically. There was a rash of really long drives to start the third quarters yesterday. Like 7 minute plus drives were abounding in the NFL yesterday. That's the other thing. Like whatever Jaden Daniels started last year with these long drives really caught fire this year. The defenses can't get these offenses off the field, even if it is a dink and dunk situation. And StatLogic Sports chimes in once more. He says, I've been saying this for a while now. Those after discussion BS penalty call changes many times must have come from discussion with the NFL in New York for 2 to 3 years now. The quote unquote replay assistance process continues to be one of the sketchiest things in pro sports. As you know, StatLogic, I've been saying that for 2 years now. I don't know when we got replay assistance. It was never explained to us. It was never explained to us what it covers. And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, replay assistant caught that, so we can just move on. What? And then last night again with that Lions Chiefs game, if you missed it earlier.
The beginning of last season, that was crazy. You just came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Dynamic kickoff. Yeah. Came out of nowhere, right? You just can't tell us, right? We watch these games. We bet on these games. You can't say to us, well, the replay process from New York can't review this. But if the refs have a conference, by the way, with everybody having an earpiece, right? The referee having an earpiece. If they conference and they come up with this, then that's a foul. What would you say the chances of where that officiating crew knew that rule yesterday and picked up on it without getting told from that New York headquarters? Minimal.
I'll give a fair of 54%.
Ooh, more than 50.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'd say 42.87%.
Do I believe that those guys all got together and came to that conclusion without someone talking to them, Gil? No.
I don't believe it at all. All right. Are we at primetime games?
We are. We got two Monday nighters again.
Oh, wow.
So Sunday night football, Falcons at the 49ers.
Falcons play tonight. They're at Buffalo. Very exciting. Atlanta at Buffalo today, the first of the two Monday night football game. Excuse me, Buffalo at Atlanta, pardon me. The first of the two Monday night football games, 4:15 Pacific, 7:15 Eastern. The second game between the Bears and the Commanders start an hour later at 8:15. So Atlanta's 2-2 before they play the Bills tonight, before they host the Bills tonight. At the 4-2 Niners. What do you make of the Niners? San Francisco.
Matt Jones been good, man.
San Francisco versus Tampa Bay yesterday. Tampa Bay beats the Niners. And let me just say that my little buddy Owen Wright, signed by the Buccaneers to their practice squad and then elevated to the active roster for this game.
Nice.
He got in on victory formation.
Okay. All right.
Sure. First time San Francisco had the ball. 3rd and 4th, their own 22. Jones completely fooled, picked by Vildor. Stumbles three times where he could have housed it. That was really weird. When he picked off the ball, he just kept falling down.
Yeah. He was, I think it was that, oh crap, like I better make sure I catch this thing. You know, because it was a little loose, like it was close to not being a catch. But say I'm loaded up on the Bucks. I'm like, what are you doing? Take it back.
Tampa Bay nonetheless set up at the San Francisco 12. Rashad White for 10, White for 2, touchdown, 7-0 Tampa, 9:54 left first quarter. Then Mac to Bourne, his security blanket. Kendrick Bourne for 41. First play of the drive leads to Pinheiro's 52-yard field goal, 7-3 Bucks, halfway through the first.
That connection has been nuts.
Oh, it's been great.
The Jones-Bourne connection, like, geez.
And then maybe the most significant part of this game, Tampa Bay on a drive where the Niners lost Fred Warner half to punt. It was a gruesome injury. The Niners fear they've lost Fred Warner for the entire year. It looked like they would lose Fred Warner for the entire year. The injuries with this franchise do not stop.
Yeah.
Bucks have a whole rash of injuries themselves. But man, oh man, the Niners are plagued by this. So 7-3 game, San Francisco then with the ball. 10 plays, 84 yards. Jones to Bourne for 56. First play, second quarter. 8 plays later, McCaffrey in from 10-7 Niners. 10-18 left second quarter. Tampa Bay response. 8 plays, 68 yards to Igbuka for 17. But that would be the last we'd see of him. He'd have to leave the game. Then to Otten for 23 along the way. Sean Tucker in from 9, 14, 10 bucks, 5-10 left second quarter. It gets a 14-13 on the Pinheiro 54-yarder. Man, has Pinheiro been good for the Niners. Tampa Bay.
Celebrations were a little toned down yesterday, Gil. I didn't like that as much. He's become like my favorite kicker.
Yeah.
But it's because of the celebrating.
14-13. Tampa Bay, 5 plays, 72 yards. Baker to Cameron Johnson, wide open from 34 out, 20-13 bucks. There's a roughing the passer, so the two-point conversion attempt from the one, they decide to go for it. White stops short, 44 seconds left second quarter. 20-13. By the way, the Niners would get another Pinheiro field goal before the end of the half, 20-16 bucks. Then it would be 20-19 after the Niners' first drive in the second half, 20-19, halfway through the third. Tampa Bay, this, if you miss this play, this might have been the best play in all the NFL yesterday. 20-19 bucks. Tampa Bay in the third quarter, 3rd-and-14 at their own 41. Baker somehow escapes a sack from multiple people, somehow eludes tackles, lunges past the marker for 15 yards, 2 plays later, deep to Tez Johnson with a fingertip catch for a 45-yard touchdown, 27-19 Tampa Bay.
He's incredible.
Baker Mayfield with an amazing escape followed by that bomb. This dude just keeps getting it done. If the MVP was voted on today, you cannot vote for anybody else. I'm sorry.
He's the most fun quarterback to watch in the NFL.
And when he was at Oklahoma, I used to say all the time, I was like, you don't want this guy to play for you? 27.
I mean, who tries harder? Like you could just see it. And little Baker, with every little step he takes, man, it is just nobody's trying harder than Baker Mayfield.
Bobby Brown sung about it years ago. 27-19 Tampa Bay. They'd win it 30-19. San Francisco could never matriculate after that. It ended when Mac was picked by Jamel Dean. And then Trent Williams was flagged for being a sore loser after that. Tampa Bay with 5:43 left in the fourth quarter. They got that field goal to make it 30-19. And San Francisco would turn the ball over on down subsequent to that. Atlanta at San Francisco is what this is. So San Francisco drops to 4-2, and they are a mash unit. It's incredible. The two most oft injured guys, Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams, are actually the two guys still playing.
Yeah.
But it's Brock Purdy. It's Fred Warner. It's George Kittle. It's Brandon Ayuk, who has never seen the field. On and on and on to the break of dawn.
Is Brock Purdy getting his job back?
Mac Jones keeps saying, I'm just here to back him up.
Yeah.
San Francisco -3 is my guess. Hosting Atlanta.
Ding, ding, ding. 49ers -3. We are 3.5 at DraftKings.
Okay.
Threes everywhere else, though.
Three and a hook, huh?
Yeah, DK.
Okay. We have a Monday night doubleheader to get to?
Monday night doubleheader.
All right. We'll do the Monday night doubleheader on the other side. And then we will get to baseball because we got a doubleheader in baseball today. Game 2 of the ALCS between the Mariners and the Blue Jays. And game 1 of the NLCS, the Dodgers at Milwaukee. I believe we got Snell against Priester in that one, in that ball game. And then early game, Gilbert against Yesevich. We're pronouncing it that way. Coming up on a numbers game.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. However you're taking us in, we sure do appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland in the hizzy, live at Circa. We got to clarify some stuff. Not to clarify. We just got to wrap up some, tie some loose ends together.
Sure. I've never seen more detailed work from Danny Higgins and Rob Moreno on the Cameron Dicker story. So, man, turning over every stone.
I proclaimed earlier that Cameron Dicker, I'm amazed by this guy. He doesn't get any publicity. He's missed six field goals in his entire career. He's 105 for 111. And I proclaimed, I said, he's the most underrated player in the NFL, period. There's no other player in any other position that's more underrated than Cam Dicker. And so Danny Higgins did a deep dive on Cam Dicker, the kicker from Texas, right? So he comes out, 2022. He gets picked up by the Rams. So he's in the preseason with the Rams.
Undrafted.
He's in a Rams preseason game. Not only is he kicking field goals, but he like punts the ball 52 yards. He has one punt, he goes 52 yards. So the Rams get rid of him. He ends up with the Ravens preseason game. He's kicking field goals for the Ravens. He punts the ball 57 yards on a punt with the Ravens. All right, then the Eagles, this is actually in season in 2022. Eagles fans might remember this. They pick him up for a week because Jake Elliott got hurt.
Jeez.
He's a special teams player of the week because he went 2-for-2 field goals, 2-for-2 extra points, and he kicked the game winner from 23 yards. But then Jake Elliott came back, and he was gone from the Eagles. And then finally, later in the year, Dustin Hopkins. You remember Dustin Hopkins, who played in Washington, played in with the Chargers. He got hurt, so the Chargers bring in some USFL player. He doesn't stick. Then they bring in Cam Dicker, who I guess was at a Carrie Underwood concert.
In November.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
There it is. Undrafted Cameron Dicker.
I'm assuming this is according to Wikipedia, Rob, right? So, you know, take this all with a grain of salt. But the story gained national attention during an episode of Sunday Night Football. Underwood herself sent Dicker a video message saying, quote, "I would love to have you out for a makeup concert. And any show you want to come, just let me know." Like, Carrie Underwood gave this guy no chance. She felt bad. This poor backup undrafted kicker didn't get a chance to see her show.
You could never fully believe Wikipedia, though. Ever tell you my morning radio quick Wikipedia research?
No, it's burnt us all, man. It's burnt us all.
I never said David Alan Greer. I was doing a morning show in San Francisco.
Oh, I have heard this one. Yep.
David Alan Greer from In Living Color fame was on there, and we had guests all morning, so I hadn't done any David Alan Greer research. I went to his Wikipedia page, and they said he had just done a musical on Louis Farrakhan. So as soon as he comes, I go, "Are you working on a musical?" Louis Farrakhan. Anyway, he took it great because then he made like a 5-minute bit about it. But it was completely untrue. A musical about Farrakhan.
Yeah, man. Yep, that's why I bring it up.
So great. We get tweets of Beating the Book. A. Brown. "Let's go, O. Victory formation is only the beginning." Thank you so much, A. Brown. Owen Wright getting in victory formation. Charlie D. USA.
Oh, their first victory formation of the year, I believe I saw.
Right, because they win everything at the gun. Yeah. Charlie D. USA number one. Pointing out the Bobby Brown reference from earlier. Giuseppe Bibetta. "If you didn't see the post-game interview with Tez about receiving MVP chance, it's a must-watch. And hilarious." That's the other. Okay, let's set this up.
I totally missed this.
So Tez Johnson, again, the Bucks are a mash unit. Igbuka's hurt by the end of the game. Evans is already out. So it's Johnson and Johnson receivers.
Yeah, Romo's making terrible jokes on air about it.
Making terrible jokes. Tez Johnson catches one pass for 45 yards, but it's a touchdown. And the MVP chants rein in. And here's Tez Johnson after the game talking about it.
I'll tell you a funny story. This is crazy. When I score and I hear MVP chant, I'm thinking they talking about me. So I asked Shep, I'm like, "Shep, they was chanting MVP?" And he was like, "Yeah." I was like, "I ain't do nothing this year." And then he was like, "They talking about Baker, Tez." And I was like, "Well, that explains it." But he is the MVP. The one he got the first down on, he said he blacked out. But, I mean, that's just Baker. The pump fake get everybody. I'm just like, oh, my God, he's a dog. Like, I don't know what he eating his put in his cereal before the game, like, but that guy won it every single week.
That's the thing. Tez is right. That play by Baker Mayfield, and I said it before I talked about it. was the best play in football yesterday.
He's incredible.
It was incredible.
He's incredible every single week.
But that Ted story about Channing MVP and Sterling Shepard had to clarify for him. By the way, Sterling Shepard, beautiful fiance. Just want to point that out.
Props to Tez for even bringing this up to media postgame, right? Yes. Like, you could have let this die.
Absolutely.
Except I'm going to guess, Gil, that Sterling Shepard has never heard anything funnier in his entire NFL career, was dying laughing when Tez Johnson brought this up to him, and was probably ready to tell 50 reporters himself about it after the game. So it's probably good Tez brought it up.
Right. I think it's great that he did.
That's fantastic.
He couldn't. I haven't done anything this year. Channing MVP. Ryan Kleinfelter on Twitter. Yo, as it pertains to the discussion about officiating in the NFL, I noticed this year in ACC football games that they make the discussion between replay official and the refs on the field transparent to viewers, which I think is great. Do they run the actual audio? Because I know some of these fledgling pro leagues have done that, where you hear the audio.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that.
The NFL will never do that for us. I would love to see them do that. Because then we could really
know. Maybe it was Florida State. You said ACC?
Yeah, he said ACC.
Might have been Florida State on Saturday. I saw this.
But of course, in the case of yesterday, if you're like me and you don't believe their story, that you believe that the replay booth actually told them that, they wouldn't be able to show that, because then they wouldn't have been able to throw the flag on that by rule, because the replay booth couldn't have told them that. Only the officials on the field by conference could have made that call. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. All right, we got a couple of Monday night games, another doubleheader.
Rob Moreno, man. Rob Moreno, the best, most random producer we've had working at VSiN for the past 8 years. Not even a producer. He just dug up the Carrie Underwood video message.
That's fantastic.
There's more work that's gone into this Cameron Dicker story than anything we've done in 5 years on this show.
Rob Moreno, also the co-star of First Strike.
That's right.
Our UFC, our MMA podcast.
Check it out. All right, we on to Monday night? Did we do Sunday night?
Yes, we did.
All right, Monday night, Bucks at Lions. Two good games.
Double header, right?
Yes.
Now, this is not like tonight. You guys were saying in my ear, this is not a one-hour stagger time. This
we have the...
One game finishes and the other one starts.
7 Eastern kick and a 10 Eastern kick.
Yeah, I don't prefer that.
Me neither.
You said Tampa Bay at Detroit? Is that what you said? Oh, that's a good game. 5-1 Bucks. Will Owen Wright be on the active roster for a second straight week? We shall see. Against the 4-2 Lions. Baker was 17 of 23 for 256, two touchdowns, no picks. Bucks were +2 in turnovers against the Niners. And Detroit in their loss to the Chiefs. Goff, 23 of 29 for 203. They sort of lost that game with a whimper last night, didn't they? I'll say Detroit -3.5.
This is Detroit -4.5? Yes, I say with a question mark because I'm checking. I had baseball pulled up. Why did I have baseball pulled up? 4.5.
The other thing about that.
This was 5.5 most places at open.
So again, I'll say it again that I think the Lions are the team that, and they mentioned this on the broadcast last night too, so it's not just me. They clearly are sort of branding themselves as a bully. They didn't use the word bully on the broadcast. I will. It's the old Dr. Bob term about teams that pick on lesser competition. When the Lions get punched in the face, it ain't that great for them. They're not a great come-from-behind team. So that's a reputation that's starting to sort of bubble over. I will say this about the Baker Mayfield MVP case. Not only is Baker has made multiple insane comebacks, and yesterday, just an incredible play, but it's with all of these backup players. They banged up in the backfield. They're banged up at receiver.
You got a Tez and a Cameron Johnson catching.
Two Johnsons, Tez and Cameron.
It's wild.
Was it Bucky Irving who was out yesterday?
Bucky's been out, yep.
Bucky's out. I mean, it's just incredible what he's doing.
Sounds like Mike Evans could be back next week, but Igbuka's missing time.
Evans and Igbuka out. I mean, imagine. Evans and Igbuka. I mean, you could make a case that that's like one of the best receiving tandems in football.
Oh, yeah, you could. Igbuka's been great.
Was the second one?
I love Baker. I think eventually this is going to be tough to continue with all these injuries, but
we've
done it so far.
You've said that the last couple of weeks too, and here we are.
Mm-hmm. Late 10:00 Eastern, Texans at Seahawks.
Texans at Seahawks. The 2-3 Texans coming off a bye here at the 4-2 Seahawks. Our Mike McDonald Coach of the Year tickets probably bouncing back down to where we got them at the first time. You got a big one, though. You doubled up on
it. A little bit. That movement was weird last week.
That was
weird. I checked. I think I saw this morning 18-1.
I might add. Darnold, 16 of 27 against the Jags for 295. Two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. And Jackson Smith and Jigba. 8 for 162 and a touchdown. You think they regret letting DK Metcalf go? Not at all. I said Seattle minus 4.5.
Wow. Seattle 3.
Seattle 3.
Yes. Guess you just found another one.
Give me the Seahawks. There we go. I got a second one.
I am in on this game as well. Played Seattle on the money line last night. There were cheap threes. I didn't know where this would go. I had a feeling it would get past the three, though. So I played the money line instead. There was no 2.5s out there.
Seahawks are only 3-point favorites in this game?
Yeah. Texans off a bye, right?
Texans
off
a bye.
I get it a little bit.
Texans defense really good.
Yeah. I played the under as well. I played under 42, and I laid money line with Seattle.
I like the Panthers. I like the Seahawks. By the way, once again, Danny, if we could put this up again, this is the Survivor for those who missed it at the beginning of the show. Circus Survivor update. Only 149 entries were bounced with two games left this year in the brief history of Circus Survivor. This still ranks fourth in terms of percentage of entries bounced. The 3 years preceding this one, a higher percentage, including, of course, the record that will never be broken last year, 98.49%. This was the week where, remember, last week it was 98.45%, only five entries. Got knocked out this week last year. The stagnation began. But this year, I don't know, still like a kind of relatively average percentage of Survivor entries bounced. Kelly Bidlin still got one entry left.
That's right. And this Seahawks game just Christmas treed on me, Gil.
What do you mean? Oh, no.
We're at 3.5 most places.
Just as we spoke right there.
And total going down.
God bless America. Why do we speak out loud?